The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country has places tucked away.
Oh, it's our fault. Remember thinking, you know, when we were babs and you had them like 6 week, 7 week off from school, and how hot it was then, and the stuff that we used to do. Not only to keep cool, but the stuff we used to do anyway. And you probably spent 6 or 7 week we had to shirt on. I mean, you'd have to put one in the morning, like you had, my mother was on Ailey's. I'd be on the lads at Clark's in Pen Cricket Lane, and I'd make sure you had a swill, your neck and everything, and you'd combed your hair and you'd brush your teeth before to go. But then once you was ready, you'd be off really, and the sun was out and you'd take your shirt off, you'd have your little shorts on, and then it'd be it all day really. Nobody would bother about you. You had fun places to go and things to do. If you wanted anything, you'd come back, they locked the back door or anything, just left it. If you were worried about anything, worried, you'd just go to Mrs. Skate next door and they'd sort you out. And you'd just sort of make sure somehow, without even having a watch or a clock, that you was back for tea time for when your mother come in. Because normally what we had to do, we had to get the tea ready. So before we went out, say I was having any vegetables or anything like that, you'd have to pile the taters, put them in a saucepan and stick the saucepan on there ready. You'd have to do the vegetables, get them ready, put a bit of salt in them, and you'd sort of come back and stick them on about half hour before your mother used to get on the simmer, so that they'd be cooking through, so that your day, you usually finished about 5 o'clock, so we'd be back from Pen Cricket Lane if I walked with Mrs. James and Mrs. Neenan, Bella, and my auntie Glad. They'd be back about 5:30, and they'd expect the vegetables to be nearly done by then. And they might then fry a bit of spam in a grill, you know, in a pan or something, or they might bring a bit of fish from the fish shop on the road home and cut it into flour. Fridays was a bit different, because if we were a bit flush, they'd probably get a bit of steak, but I might cook that ready. And then I just had to warm it up. Anyhow, I'm talking about being hot, are we? So, you can't remember, but it was all this sunny when you was on your school holidays. A bit like it's been this summer, really. Really, really hot weather. And we'd have loads of stuff planned, but what we like to do is we'd go down to the shop at the bottom of Grafton Road, Mr. Barclay's shop, and he'd have the normal things, like he'd have them ice lolls made out of milk. You can still get them, I think. I ain't quite sure, but I think you can. But you'd have things like Magnums or anything like that. But the favourite thing on Wii would be a jubbly. Now, if you're way old enough to remember jubblies, they're a bit like them things that you have now called calipos, but they were triangular. They were in a big long stick or anything like that. You'd just go, and if you could afford one yourself, you'd have one each. But if you couldn't afford one yourself, then you would have one between, how many on you? Sometimes it'd be 6 or 7. And you'd take it with you, because it was just like a block on ice that was usually orange. And you'd take it with you, and you just keep sharing it round, and you like suck the corners, and while obviously it was hot, while you were sucking the icy bits, then you'd let it melt until it was eventually a drink, or it was just water, it was just ice. But you'd pass it round, and if you think about health and safety now, if there are six on you and you was all having to suck on the same thing, you'd have wipe it or anything, you just sucked it. And that was it. It was one of the things that you did. It was just part and parcel of growing up. If we'd got any trunks and a towel, we'd take it with us. But half the time we'd just got round to Tifford Lake. you'd go from Barclays and just go along the road and then turn left down Ashes Road. And you'd go halfway to where the flats were being built at Whiteheath and then turn right. And we'd just get on the path that was on the edge of the lake that went down the side on the cut. And as you walked along the cut, you'd eventually come to this big open space of water. And if you carried on round the bend, you could get all the road into Langley and up to Tatbonk and a bit further than that. But we used to stop off at Tifford Lake. And as I say, if we had trunks, we'd take trunks, but it wasn't really relevant, really, because if you had them woolly trunks, you'd just get hot anyway. So you used to just take your trousers off and your socks and your shoes, and you'd get down to your underpants. Now, there were such things, or I don't know, there was such things anyway, as like boxer shorts and briefs and things like that. It was just white fronts, really, and most of the time they were white. So you all had the same pants on, don't you? They start making them collardons till a bit later, or we couldn't afford any collardons anyway. So we'd just take our pants, you know, our trousers off, our kegs off, and we'd be there in our little white fronts. And then we'd spend hours swimming in Tifford Lake. I mean, God knows what was in there, and whether we got bellyache or anything, I don't know. Because the factories were still there when we were kids. So all the effluent from the factories would be coming up the cut and into the lake. And I suppose because it was a big lake, it was as concentrated as the spaces where it come out on the factory. I mean, I've seen some old photographs, particularly around the pump house in Langley, where all Bratton Wilson's were, the chemical work. And the cut was like full of white foam, which was probably the phosphorus stuff that was coming out of the processing plant. Now, if you think I'm a little bab and I'm swimming in and all that, but we don't seem to bother. So we'd sort of spend, probably, if we were going swimming, we'd probably spend all day long, really, there. And you could swim, if you were a good enough swimmer, you could swim from the cut bunk or the lake bunk, and you go out into the island at the middle, and then you could climb the tree that, like, with, I think it might have been a willow tree or something like that, but you climb the tree that overhung the lake, and you'd dive off one of the branches back into the lake and come back. If you were such a good swimmer, you'd just stop near the side, or you had a big one with you, so that they knowed it was all right. And some of them, like our kid, he'd take a stick that he'd have off my granddad from the allotment, and he'd tie a bit of a fine line to it, and then they'd have got some worms or something, and he'd have the sock out my mother's tights that they used to pull up, and he'd make like a net out of that, and he'd fish for, like, he'd probably get gudgeon or sticklebacks or something like that. Never got anything big, although it was said that there was some big fish in Tidford Lake, some pike and some really big, big sort of, I don't know what you call them, coarse fish, I suppose, like that. Because I got that off a fishing programme we do on Black Country Extra. So that'd be probably one of the major things we'd do. And you don't have to have any money or anything other than enough between you to buy a jubbly. You might take a packet of biscuits if somebody got some in the larder and the cold stone. Or you might make yourself up a jam sandwich and wrap it in grease wolf paper. It's very rare that you had any money to buy pop or something, unless your granddad had been and cut your hair and give you your pocket money, and you use some of your pocket money for that. So jubblies was like the thing to use when it was hot. We don't really go to the ice cream on much. One, because it were too expensive. But sometimes on a Sunday, if it was really, really hot and my mum and dad had got a bit of spare money in the caddy tin, then they'd give you a bowl and a few coppers, and they'd ask the ice cream man to fill the bowl up to the value of the coppers. And it didn't matter what it was. It might have been threepence, it might have been a shilling or something. And he'd just gear enough ice cream, and probably a bit more, to the value of what you got. But also he'd put some wafers in there, some broken wafers, so that you could have the wafers while you were having your ice cream on a Sunday afternoon. And later on, we'd go right out over to the hostel, and various things that we did at the hostel. There was this place called the Caves on the hostel, and it was by the Fush Tee on Brandall Golf Course that has been closed down recently, which is a big shame. But there was this massive oak tree that used to overhang the brook where we were, and so we'd sat on we'd sit on the side, and there was always, for some reason, there was always some old tyres in the brook. So two or three on we that was a bit bigger and we could get them, we'd get the tyre and we'd drag it along the brook, roll it along the brook. We'd get some rope that was probably been used for something else. We'd tie it round the tyre and we'd tie the tyre round the first branch so that it were low enough for you to get in. And then you'd spend hours and hours and hours, the big ones first to make sure it was safe, and you'd pull the tyre back as fair as you could and you'd just swing right to the other side of the brook and jump over onto the other bank. Or, if you were brave enough, you'd jump off into the brook. And then you'd have the little ones, but a big one had sat on with the little ones, just so they get used to it. But when they were like brave enough, they'd just jump off themselves. And from there, we'd go to the big houses at the back of the Wolvo, where all the posh folks used to live. And we'd do something what was probably like a military recce, because most of these big houses had fruit trees in the gardens and they backed onto the hostel, which was a piece of waste ground, big piece of waste ground, called the hostel actually, because just after the Second World War, there was a big like dormitory built, and all of the guys that used to come over from France and Poland and Italy and that, they used to go in this hostel before they got somewhere that they could settle and a job. The council used to find them a job. And the hostel building was there for years when we used to play in it. But anyway, we had these big houses and we used to go and do a recce for about 2 weeks. One of the reasons you'd do it for was A, to see what type of apples would be there, or plums or pears or whatever they growed. B, to see if they'd got what would now be called a patio window, if they'd got a big window in the living room. And C, to find out what their... I suppose it was like burglars, really, because you'd find out if they went out to work, what time they went out to work, if one of them stopped in, what the routine was, if they hung the washing out and went shopping. So then you'd go back when you knowed, well, you thought you knowed, there'd be nobody there. And you had to allocate various jobs, and the jobs were climbers, obviously, because you've got to get up the tree, and them would be your most nimble, and probably the Babs, who could get up the tree pretty quick. You'd have catchers who would be at the bottom of the tree, so the little ones would chuck the apples down and you'd catch it. And then you'd have runners, and they'd pass it to a runner, because these gardens was quite long, they were like pokey little things, and they'd run it to the fence. And what you'd done is you'd loosened a few palings in the fence so that when the watcher, who was the other side of the fence, who was obviously watching the house and the window and everyone to see if anybody was coming, when the watcher said it was all right, he'd open this little thing and you'd pass all the apples out to him, and then the carrier would just shove them down his jumper and tuck them in his pants and tie his belt tight. And that'd be like quite a military manoeuvre, and there'd probably be at least half a dozen, aren't we, involved in that. And then obviously you'd sot for a bit and you'd, you know, have an apple, and then you'd take them home. And it was probably the only time that we never got lumped, really, by our mothers, because they made apple pies for everybody who lived up the close, were we? So it was like, where you been? We've been scrumping. What you got? We got apples, we got plums, we got pears. Oh, right, okay, then here, I'll get us here. And then within 2 hours, there was a dozen apple pies or plum pies or something, and you'd have to take them round all your neighbours and feed them, really. So it was great. And really, I can't remember we ever getting caught, because we was pretty nippy. If there was a time where... somebody was in the house and we'd forgot they were in the house, then the watcher would just scream, you know, "I'm coming out the back door, I'm coming out the back door." And we'd tear it through the pilings and then just push the piling forward. We'd be halfway home before they could catch away. So, the hot weather now, there are such things that are done like we did. Dog arrows was another one. Dog arrows was one of our favourite pastimes. And what you used to have to do is you had to go down the allotment and see the old blokes, probably at Barnford Allotment, which is just off Farm Road, and they'd be putting all the stuff out. Well, if they'd got plants that they'd got to support, they'd have these like green little pilings. They were just pieces of wood, and I presume they just got them from probably Elaine's in Langley. Elaine's was a shop in Langley that's actually moved 3 times. It started off in the green by Albright and Wilson's, then it moved halfway up the High Street, and now it's back towards the end of the High Street. And the lanes is something like Granville's in Open All Hours. You could just go in and say, Elaine, have you got a clothes peg? And somewhere in the shop there'd be a clothes peg. And that's probably where they got these sticks from. And you'd just sit with the old blokes and you'd say, have you got any spare sticks? And some of them had been like more wuss for wear. So they'd gear like a bunch of these sticks, anything they was. And you'd take them home. And what you had to do is you'd have to split the top into like a diagonal side. And then you'd go around the street in the gutters and you'd fund some old fat packets that had been thrown away, like fake packets. And you'd cut the sides off, so you just had the one side in them. And then you'd make half of an arrow out on it. And then you'd push them down into these Vs. So you'd got a flight. It was like a flight. And then the other end, you'd just slightly shave it, not very much, because you don't want it to stick in anybody. But if you were clever, you put a bit of bazooka gum on the end that used to weight it, so that it kept its flight better. And then you just got a piece of string. All you did, got a piece of string, wrap it round the top, wrap it to your... It was like a mini javelin, I suppose. And then you'd wrap it to your thumb. You'd run about 4 or 5 yards and you'd chuck it. And you could... It could go 100 yards, these dog arrows. The good ones used to go 100 yards. So we used to stand in the close and we'd send somebody over the hostel, which was about... From our house, it'd probably be about 100 yards away. And then we'd be in our back garden, probably half a dozen, and we. And then you'd chuck the dog arrow over somebody's roof. Well betide if it was a crappin' and it ended up on the roof anyway, because then your dog arrow was lost. And they'd be waiting for it to come over the top of the roofs on the estate. And it'd just drop into the hostel somewhere. And then their job was to bring it back. And you'd spend hours and hours and hours doing that. In the hot weather. And as I say, you probably have your shirt on all day. You might have a jam sandwich wrapped in greaseproof paper. You might have a bottle of pop, if there was a bottle of pop in the larder where the cold stone was and kept it cold. But other than that, you was just out all day playing. Golf balls was another one. We used to naff golf balls off Brandall Golf Course, because on the first tee, if anybody's been to Brandall Golf Course, the old one, the first tee was right on the top of this bunk, and you drove it up the fairway, and there was like a blind spot on the fairway. And in Ferndale Road, which was on the edge of our estate, there was like this spot where you could hide in the trees and you'd see the golf ball come and bounce onto the fairways. And you'd look back again, you'd have a watcher probably on the ridge of the hill just watching these golfers coming. And they'd drive, it's usually played in pairs or four on them. And so these golf balls would come up and you'd just go out from behind the trees and you'd pinch your golf balls and just go back behind the trees. And they'd come and they'd have a look round and, you know, they'd have a look, see if they could fund the golf ball, couldn't. So then they'd just take one out of the case and drop it down and carry on. And then by the end of about a round, which would be, they'd start about 6 in the morning, finish about 12, you'd be down the golf club and you'd be selling them the balls back. And make a few bob, and then you'd go to the Mr. Granger's, which was the end of Brook Road, and spend all your money on suck and pop and stuff like that. And probably make yourself sick if all you went up for tay. And that probably the fine. I mean, we used to do loads more, but probably keeping us busy in the summer, just thinking how hot it is now. And I don't know how we did this, but we were in the close, and our close went out into Oakdale Road, and you went right to the top of Oakdale Road, cut round to Ferndale Road, come round Fairway Road, and to eventually come back to the close. So you had a circuit that was about 400 yard all the way round. And there were probably about 2 dozen kids in our road. And we'd get a few from Oakdale Road. We don't really mix with the folks from Grafton Road or Fairway or Ferndale, really, unless we were going to play them at football. Which is another thing, 20 a side over the hostel all day long. With the crates off the co-op, man. We used to take them over. And he rode up. We'd go out and it'd be, you'd wait till your mum had gone to work, and you'd wait till all the wenches who worked elsewhere had gone to work. And we'd have relays. And you'd have, say you got 20 a side, so you'd have 10 either side. And you'd start at about 9 o'clock in the morning, and the fustin' would go round, all the way round, Oakdale Road, Ferndale Road, Fairway Road. And then he'd come back and tick the next one, and the next one would go. And then you'd just carry on all day long till your mother come up at 5 o'clock. And it'd just be on and on and on. And you'd think, well, how boring's that? But it wore boring. It was just brilliant. And obviously, if you wanted, sometimes you might want a wee, hadn't you? So you just go back in, your door was locked, you just go in and have a wee. Mrs. Skett would come out and just check we were all right and if we wanted anything. Sometimes I'd do like a full loaf of toast and bring it out about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. So as you had, you were waiting for your turn, you could have some toast off Mrs. Skett. And even in the summer, I don't think I'd had a toaster or stuff. I used to do it on the fire, so you'd have all them black bits off the fire. And it was just amazing, absolutely amazing to see you do it and to bring it out. And as I said, probably the final thing, other than making dens, you used to make dens over the, you know, over the waste ground and get tarpaulin off the building site, and you'd put it in the trees and you'd cover it in old sheets and stuff like that and stop all day. That was just normal to make. But the football games, again, you'd have the, you'd beg the crates off the co-op milkman. Or if you had like six bottles of milk and you put them in a crate a day, bring them one at a time, you'd just take the milk crate and it wore there when you come the next day. And you'd just say, well, I don't know, somebody must have pinched it. But we used to have it for that, for playing football, for the goals. And also, we'd do the Olympic Games over the hostel where you'd have the crates. And say you had six crates, you'd start at two crates, one either side, and you'd butter a line prop, and that would be like the high jump. And then if you got over that, you put a crate again. So we had two crates either side. Then you had three crates, and then you couldn't go up in crates because you'd be too high. So you'd put like a boulder either side. And so you'd have the Olympic Games, the long jump, you'd use the sun pits on the golf course. The number nine was probably the furthest away from the clubhouse, so the green Monday really come up there very often. So you'd have like the Olympic long jump in the bunkers. So you'd run across the greens and then you'd just hail yourself off the off the top of this bunker and see how far you got, and then you'd mark it, and you might be the Olympic long jump champion. There was just so much to do. It was just amazing the stuff that you had to do. And you made up, really. I mean, collecting fake, you know, I said, collecting fake packets from round the gutters. And then you'd have flicked the fake packet into the cave. That would be another one. Or you'd have, if you had a lollipop off the ice cream on or around the shop, you'd kept the stick and you'd weave it into this thing that you chocked, and it was like a flying saucer. And you'd, you know, whoever chocked it the furthest had won. There was no prizes, but you'd just won. So it was always, what can we do next? What's the game we can play next? What can we climb next? Where can we scrump next? How many doggers can we make today? Where shall we go fishing? Where shall we go swimming? And it wore just Tifford, you know, Tifford Lake. You'd swim in the Cut, you'd jump off Uncle Ben's bridge. Anything that was there that you could do, you'd be out all day long in the sun. But I'll tell you something, it wore off hot.
The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country has places tucked away.